Let's take a look at a law that is intended to support victims of rape. It's a new law that's recently been passed in Sweden and goes into effect July 1st. It states that participation in sex has to be grounded on free will or consent. One immediate effect is that the burden of proof for sex crimes in Sweden will no longer be whether a perpetrator used force, threats, or took advantage of someone in a vulnerable situation in order to get a rape or sexual assault conviction. But defining consent can be tricky. The new law states that participants need to agree in words or actions that they want to engage in sexual activity, and the law creates a new crime, negligent rape. Sarah Backstrom is a senior legal advisor for the Swedish Association for Sexuality Education in Stockholm. We asked her to explain what might constitute negligent rape.
So if someone has been raped and the prosecutor could not prove that there was intent, the court can still make this assessment, like if someone should have understood that something was wrong and there was something that person could have done in that situation, like asking or seeing if the person was awake, etc. The court then could decide that the person is guilty of criminal negligence rape.
Can you give me an example?
If someone rapes someone that is badly intoxicated, for example, and says, well, I didn't realize that he or she was badly intoxicated, then the court could see, okay, so what was the height of the alcohol level in the blood? So this person was really, really badly intoxicated. And the person claims, I didn't understand that. So then the court can say, okay, but this person was badly intoxicated. If you would have looked the person in the eye, or if you would have thought about how the person was just lying in the bed or on the sofa, then you should have at least thought that this is something wrong in this situation. And you could have asked, are you really drunk or something?
I guess the big question is, what constitutes giving consent?
Well, the consent can be given both verbally and physically.
How would you go about proving? I mean, verbal consent, I can see it. I mean, even then, like, what would be physical consent?
Well, if someone is answering with the same kind of action as the one taking initiative to sex.
You're talking about a look in somebody's eyes that they're kind of interested in sex?
Yeah. That could be.
How would you
prove
that in court, though?
We would still have the same problems we have already today. With this new law, the burden of proof in court has not been changed. It's still the prosecutor having to prove there was an intent. So there still has to be exhaustive police investigations. The law should, however, give the police, the prosecutors, and the court more instruments to ask the defendant other types of questions, like, what made you think that the victim participated in free will? When the victim said or did this or that, how did you interpret that?
Would someone charged with breaking this new law, would they automatically be charged with rape?
No, it depends on what kind of sexual act they were committing or what sexual act is in focus, because rape is for some actions and then we have sexual assault for other actions.
And is the law applying to both men and women?
The new law is gender neutral, which it is already today, so that is not new. But everyone has to seek consent, or more specifically seek that the participation is based on free will. I mean, it's important to say that both men and women can be subjected to sexual crimes, but these types of assaults and this type of crime is not gender blinded in Sweden as well as in the rest of the world. I mean, the vast majority of sexual crimes have a male perpetrator, regardless of the gender of the victim. So, I mean, it is gendered.
So is Sweden entering an age where both partners about to have sex need to give some form of provable consent?
I mean, we are not going to have signed papers, but hopefully this will have normative effects in the society and especially in the area of norms around sexuality and sexual rights. The law will have a national information campaign, and that one must focus on sexual normativity and masculinities, conversations about mutuality, communication in sexual situations, and boundaries. We must go beyond the slogan, a no is a no, and turn it into everything before a yes is a no. and start to talk about the actual situations that arises in sexual encounters and give people concrete tools to communicate both verbal and nonverbal signs from other persons, as well as how to express their own wishes.
Do you think it's going to be hard to enforce the law because of that?
How the new Sexual Criminal Act will be implemented in the Swedish judicial system remains to be seen. I can see that judges will need education on victim psychology and how to use the new law to ask the right questions. The police investigators need to be able to prioritize these kind of cases to make exhaustive investigations. We should reintroduce the system of experts on sexual assaults within the police unit. So there are many things that we have got to do to shape this crime area up.
Sarah Backstrom, the senior legal advisor for the Swedish Association for Sexuality Education in Stockholm. Thanks very much, Sarah, for your time today.
Thank you very much.